This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. My name is Will Doctor alongside Charlie Epps, and we're lucky enough to have a very special guest today, Charlie.
Mark Rock and Roll Vandermeer.
Boy, this is such a treat to be here with you guys. Charlie, it's been a long time. It's so good to be on the air with you. We've done a lot of shows together.
Well, I welcome you to Houston, you know, way back when.
Yes,
how many years has it been?
It's 2002, April 2002. So it's the 20-year anniversary right here.
You came from Miami, the voice of Miami University.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now the Texans.
Yep.
You've had a wonderful career. Although the
still
Texans,
going, I hope.
Texans have had their ups and downs. We'll visit about it more this morning with Will, and we'll talk about the Masters. We'll talk about your tournament, which is how many years old?
Well, it's been it was around before I took it over.
Right.
But I took it over in 2004.
Okay.
So, and it's at South Shore Harbor,
right,
presented by Insperity and SNH Manufacturing for Junior Achievement. We'll get to it. It's a week from Monday. We still have a few slots left. So.
Okay, well, I want to come down there. So.
That's going to be awesome, Charlie.
You know,
I'm
be with my buddy.
You've actually played in this one before.
Yes, I did.
And I can't believe you can even remember the amount of tournaments you've played in.
I can't.
But you have played in this one before.
Yeah.
Kathy Pritchard, my golf tournament co-director, says
her.
Hello.
Thank you.
And she remembers you well. I know you've done other stuff together with her. So.
Yes, sir.
So as far as the world of golf is concerned, we'll get into who Mark and Charlie are spotting for their Masters pools. We'll get into a little bit of the Texans with Mark. We'll get into the possibility of Tiger Woods returning to golf. Charlie, how about that?
How about the evolution of this? He's going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
And underneath all that, we have a new world number one.
That's right.
The second Texan to ever do Scottie Scheffler. So we'll get into a little bit of that. And without a doubt, we'll have to get a sense from Mark about the upcoming Texan season. You know, we have Davis Mills, who had two very solid games against the Tennessee Titans, a great game against the Chargers, too. A bright future ahead for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Davis Mills looked good those final few games down the stretch. So we're optimistic about what can happen. I put it this way. He's on the way up. You don't know where it stops. You don't know how high it's going to go, but it looks like it could go pretty high. As long as he continues to improve, we're in good shape here.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Back after this with Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. And Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston, Texas, joins us this morning to talk about what's new in the world of golf. He has a golf tournament of his own, which we will get to. And then we'll discuss who is on Mark and Charlie's radar as far as the Masters is concerned. And Charlie, of course, the top storyline in the world of golf is new number one Scottie Scheffler, who now has three PGA Tour wins this year, including the WGC in Austin last week. But gentlemen, that storyline has been completely overshadowed with the possibility of Tiger Woods returning to Augusta National for his sixth green jacket. Mark, nice to have you with us, Charlie.
Thanks.
Exciting times in golf. Did you ever think golf was going to get this big, Mark?
Well, of course, Charlie, because you're part of it. Of course, when Tiger exploded on the scene in the late 90s, I mean, really exploded on the scene, it took a gigantic leap forward. I remember you and I doing a lot of shows and talking about golf course construction.
Yes.
And the entire industry,
right,
just doubling, really,
yes,
with Tiger involved. And he needs to stay involved as long as possible. I mean, he's so good for the game. And I hate what's happening with Phil because I think he's really good for the game until this year when everything got so controversial. But tell me, Charlie, can Tiger do this? I mean, I guess that's a loaded question. He obviously can get through a round if he's going to join the field. But it's such a fine line, this game. We see it every week. How good can he be after this layoff and not really playing competitively for so long?
Well, number one, he won the U.S. Open 2008 playing on a broken leg.
Yeah.
For the most part. His pain threshold is incredible. And what he's gone through here lately because of the car accident, you know, we saw him come out and play with his son. But he's a workaholic. He's so motivated. You can't say he can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the realm of possibilities. And it looks like he's going to play next week in the Masters, which is incredible. I mean, less, you know, what, 14 months ago he had a crushed ankle.
Yep.
And they were thinking about amputation. So once again, this person, this Tiger, is an incredible athlete. And you've seen all these athletes every season in the NFL, and they do things that are really kind of sometimes superhuman. So it's a game of the mind.
There's such a difference when you're watching golf when Tiger is out there, when there's a Tiger. Any sport, when there's a LeBron out there, when there's a Michael Jordan out there, when there's a Tom Brady out there, when there's a Tiger out there, it changes the whole scope of the tournament.
Yes.
And you get more eyeballs, more interest. Let's just hope that he can do it. Now, I have a feeling that he wouldn't even go into this, go explore the realm of doing this unless he was capable of it. He knows that he can compete.
Well, his last tournament, 2019, he won the Masters.
Yeah.
Which was another, you know, and he won the Players' Championship. So he has done superhuman things. And it's exciting. It makes it even more drama. And it just shows you a lot about athletes.
It feels like forever, but in real time, it has only been 11 events, the Zozo Championship, in which Tiger won, and it's only been 18 events since he won the Masters. I mean, it has been a couple years, but we don't have to – the last time he came back from the back injury, we had mm-hmm. to worry about the chipping yips. His putting wasn't sharp. Supposedly, he's been he's had a bunch of time to work on his short game. That's not going to be an issue, and we all know that – from 195 and in, he is absolutely electric.
But think of this. He's won a major in 2019.
Right.
The best golfer, supposedly, McIlroy, mm-hmm. hasn't won since 2014. And he's been healthy. And you know, Spieth won real quick, and then he went south. So this guy is and what he's done with his foundation, Mark, it's his whole persona has really blossomed into a super athlete.
Why is it that Spieth is a very unique situation?
Yes.
He just exploded onto the scene. What happened, and why does that happen, Charlie? Why does that happen to certain players where they flash early? Now, he more than flashed.
Yeah.
But some guys flash, and then they kind of fade a little bit. Why is that?
He splashed.
Okay.
That one day in 2000 when he showed
up. Oh, at the Masters.
At the Masters.
Yeah.
And it just
on,
takes.
What was it? On 12, right?
On 12.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a 3-shot lead, and all of a sudden he makes quadruple bogey. The game and is so elusive. And if once you lose that confidence, it's incredibly
can't
hard
to get
Bob back.
Can't you call Bob Rotella and get it back?
You can. But Bob's a busy
he's
guy. But,
lines.
You know, the great Nicklaus,
yeah.
to me, had the best outlook for a professional. He says, don't make golf more important than it really is.
Hmm.
But today, billions of dollars are being spent. Guys are flying around in their jets, and they're flying around, you know, and they're big, big people now. And it's hard to handle. Success is a hard thing to handle.
How did Nicklaus travel?
Nicklaus had, you know, early on, he had, you know, propellers.
Yeah.
But so,
private, right?
But private, okay. Yeah. You know, he and Palmer were the, you know.
Young listeners are imagining Tiger Moths and the Wright Brothers and things like that. Okay,
yeah.
These were pretty good planes, kids. Okay?
Yes, exactly right. And he had a schedule that was not as demanding as it is today, and he was more disciplined in that he was never away from his family for more than 2 weeks at a
wow.
time. I mean, he did things
stayed
like
grounded.
That. And he had a philosophy, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys are practicing. They got, you know, and I've been out there for 10 years with Cabrera, and everybody's got their swing coach and their, you know, their butlers and their masseuses and, you know.
Yeah.
It's so big. It just, you know, it's not as big as the NFL, which you see on a day-to-day basis.
No, but it's big.
You know.
But I wonder about certain players. All right, so Nicholas probably didn't have a sports psychologist type. And I wonder if Tiger ever did, and maybe you know.
Well, he had his dad.
Yeah, but that's different, isn't it? That's family. Well, that's love and teaching.
I always like what Jackie Burke says. My sports psychologist was Jack Daniels. Walker.
I think there's something to that. Some guys just shake it off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chris Brown, who was a place kicker for the Texans, and you know him well. And he worked with Bob Rutella,
Sure did.
And it changed him.
Yep.
It really turned him around. He made some really clutch kicks, and then eventually later in his career, he missed some clutch kicks. But it's interesting to me because he said, you know, a lot of these kickers are really the same. The kickers are.
Yeah.
And it's just what's between the ears. Yeah. You know, are you going to make it from 40 or not?
Yeah.
You know, Chris made a big one at Lambeau Field in 08, 40 yards to win the game at the buzzer. And I'm thinking, that's got to be a lot of pressure in those situations. You know, Texans have never been up there. It's 0 degrees, and he made that. But it's similar in the sense that, are you going to make that 6 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot putt or not?
Yeah.
Right? Are you going to three putt like Spieth sometimes does?
From 3 feet.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, is this today? Did this happen today? Because sometimes with tweets, you're like, is this a throwback or what is this? Yeah. And I couldn't believe it.
But that happens to everybody. It just depends on how you handle it and how you get up the next morning and you have selective memory.
Yeah.
And most people select the wrong memory. You know, the bad memory.
I'm writing that down.
Nicholas, you know, he won 18 majors, but he finished second 18 times. And he lost a few, but he had the ability, that's it. That's part of golf. Let's go on. Being a pragmatic, I guess you would say German, that had that straightforward mentality that he's not a hyper type of guy like the guys from Latin America, my guy, Angel Cabrera. And now we're seeing Spieth go through this. Roy McIlroy might not ever win another tournament.
How about Bryson, Charlie? He's debating whether he's going to play the PGA Tour or if he's going to go join the long drive circus.
Yeah, well, I mean, he proved that you can really abuse your body, and it was going to happen. He got hurt, and there's nothing worse for an athlete to be hurt. And they can put you on the IR. But in football, you get paid. In golf, you don't.
Well, the long ball. Chicks dig the long ball, like they used to say about Major League Baseball, right? But I know you're a big proponent of golf is 150, 160 in, right? That's where you got to practice. That's where you hit the majority of shots. It's kind of like the majority of car accidents happen close to home. That's because you spend most of your time there. Well, you spend a lot of time around the green, and a lot of shots are hit there. Those add up.
When we come back, we'll hear a couple words from Charlie regarding Insperity, and we'll hear more from Mark regarding the 2022 Mark Vandermeer Golf Classic presented by Insperity and S&H Manufacturing. We'll do that right here on the other side of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. We just had a great conversation regarding Tiger and his comeback at Augusta. But Charlie and Mark, y'all are doing a ton of great work for our good friends over at Insperity. Can we hear a little bit more about that?
You know, Mark, Insperity is a company that was established in 1986, and now it's a $4 billion company with over 4,000 employees.
Wow.
And we know its success because you've experienced relationship with Insperity, running your golf tournament, that you've raised a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, literally millions.
Millions
over,
of dollars.
Over the years, and Insperity is a huge part of that, obviously, being the title sponsor for so long.
And they're that way because of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Sarvadi, Steve Arispe. I was teaching one of their executives this week, and she's a lady and a lovely person. And I said, "How long are you going to stay with Insperity. As long as Paul Sarvati's involved, I'm staying. Mm-hmm. And it's a culture where they encourage their employees to have their own charities and to go out in the community and support the community, just like they support your event.
Well, it's such a big company, but it feels like a local business in many ways, in all the right ways, I think, Charlie. And I just can't thank them enough for their support over the years of this golf classic for junior achievement. But they're involved with so many things, you know.
Everything.
And the Champions Tour event has just been such a first-class event. They just do it the right way. I remember years ago they said, you know what, we're not going to charge admission. We're going to do this the right way. Right. We're just going to have everybody in to watch these legends of the game play and let everybody enjoy themselves and make it a first-class hospitality event for all. And that's just one of the things that they're all about.
Well, that's Insperity. And if you're a small business owner and you want some help and you want some advice and you want it to improve your bottom line, log on to Insperity.com, log on, and they will pay you a visit, and they'll come down, and they can tell you what they can do and what they can't do. And they're honest, and they're hardworking, and Insperity, along with Mark Vandermeer, myself, Charlie Epps, we can't thank them enough for allowing us to make funds to share with our community. So Insperity.com, number one.
Now, on to some news as far as the world of golf is concerned. We'll start with the Vallejo Texas Open. Now, both of you have been in Houston for much of your professional careers, which means you're accustomed to seeing the PGA Tour come to Houston the week prior to the Masters. And since 2019, the Vallejo Texas Open, a wonderful event, has hosted the tour event this week, and the Houston Open has been moved to November. Do we think the Houston Open will stay in San Antonio, or will it return to Houston?
Well, look, my take on this is it's really unfortunate to lose that slot, and good for the Valero people to have that. You know, and I've played that course a couple of times. It's a great place to visit and play and watch a tournament. And a lot of things are going through my head right now. Like 2 years ago, I was at the JW Marriott the week before the tournament because it was spring break, right around there. And then COVID hit. They were building the stands one day for the tournament. The next day, silence. And I thought, uh-oh. And then it started to happen. Yeah. Everything started to shut down. But I digress. Look, I would love to have the slot back for Houston. I think it was terrific. I salute Jim Crane for stepping up. Because I would imagine, I've never talked to him about this or heard this, but I would imagine he would want it too. But they had to take what they could take, right, Charlie, in October? What they've done to Memorial is amazing. I used to play that course a lot, and I played it after the revamp. It's a little bit more difficult now. It's a tad bit more difficult. Those greens, my gosh.
Yes.
Where's the clown's mouth? Anyway, no, I'm sure it's a big challenge for everybody, but it's a terrific course. They've done an amazing job. And I would imagine he would want the slot back, right, Charlie?
Well, sure he would, and he's striving to get a April slot, maybe not that one. I mean, Valero, you know, they stood up and got a 10-year contract to have that date, and they have been very, very successful. The San Antonio tournament's been going on for 92 years.
Is that so?
That community supports its golf.
Wow.
It's where the Texas Golf Hall of Fame is. So to answer your question, well, They'll get a spring date, but it's going to be hard. I mean, with golf being so successful and being able to raise money and have awareness for whatever we're doing, golf is at a different level. So it's right now we're going to have to be happy in November.
Well, I think Houston's golf history is so strong. All right, you go back to River Oaks.
Yes.
And you've told me a lot about this stuff. And the Houston Open has been at tell me if I miss a course. Sharpstown,
right.
Quail Valley,
right.
Obviously Golf Club of Houston,
right.
The Woodlands, TPC,
Redstone.
Now the tournament course. Redstone, yes, as it is now, the Golf Club of Houston, right? And then I don't know if I'm missing anything else, but I played Champions a couple of times, and somebody pointed out, was it Jimmy DeMeritt's old house is right there?
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's
not
been taken
anymore,
down
but,
since.
Yeah.
But his house, when I played and saw his house, I could almost see, like, it felt like Mad Men, you know. You could almost see them having cocktails outside, and you know, that kind of thing. Dean Martin, I know it's another era, but you get my drift here. I just felt the history of the whole thing, and you think about Braeburn and the guys who have played there, because wasn't Demerit at Braeburn?
He was a golf pro there at Braeburn,
yeah. All right.
And they just redid the course. So the history in Houston of golf is, you know, just like San Antonio, mm-hmm. mainly because our you know, we're below the Mason-Dixon line.
Right.
And in the winter, all the north courses close, so they'd come play the Grapefruit Circuit, mm-hmm. starting in Texas and go through Arizona and on into California. So Houston has played a very important part, as has Memorial Park. I mean, it's returned. The Houston Open used to be at Memorial Park, and Arnold Palmer won there, and you know, a lot of great golfers. So the history of golf in Houston is marvelous.
And Arnold Palmer's last competitive round was at an Insperity event, right, at Augusta Pines.
That's exactly right.
I was doing a live show that afternoon.
How about that?
On the Texas Flagship.
And they're doing the same thing this year again. The greats of golf are coming back.
Yeah.
And Arnold and Jack and Lee Trevino, they always played on Saturday afternoon an exhibition with some other great legends of the game, and it's a very popular event, free to the public. They tee the seniors, the champions players, off, you know, in the morning, and then the champion, the greats of golf play along with Annika Sorenstam, Lopez, and on. So it's a great afternoon in the sun in the Woodlands to watch this great event.
You want to watch those legends, no doubt about it.
They're so much fun, and they enjoy the game. It's all for the love of the game.
Yeah.
You know, but Jack, I'm not sure if he's coming back.
Okay.
Because he just announced that he wasn't going to play in the par three at Augusta anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he did commit to come this year. So hopefully Brian Noggles, we'll check in with him and make sure that Jack's coming. But he's up there over 80.
He is, huh?
I'm almost there.
Oh, boy, Charlie. I don't know. You look great. You look great.
Thank you.
All right. I don't know how we stay so young. Somehow we managed to do it.
It'd be great to see the Golden Bear in the loop come that event. And, you know, as for the Valero Texas Open, it's been home to so many unbelievable storylines over the last 3 years. Of course, Jordan Spieth last year. Now, 2019 was my favorite because a Canadian by the name of Corey Connors Monday qualified for Valero and goes on to win the event, not only receives full status, but Valero put him on a private jet and on Sunday night, and he became the last man to get into the Masters. Now, 3 years later, he's a household name as far as the world of golf is concerned. He was a favorite coming into this week, Charlie. He's going to be looked at as someone who can contend at Augusta National with his nice little right-to-left ball flight. You know, Mark, if Corey Connors ends up winning a major championship this year, like I think he will, it would remind me of the great underdog story of the 2000 Super Bowl MVP, Kurt Warner. You know, Warner, of course, played arena football for three mm-hmm. seasons after being cut by the Packers. I believe, if I read right, he was bagging groceries during that time as well.
He was bagging groceries at some point. I haven't seen the Kurt Warner movie yet, by the way.
I hear it's pretty good.
Yeah, I heard it's good, too, but I heard it. Well, I don't want to give spoiler alert. I heard a spoiler, and I'm not going to spoil it for everybody else. But anyway, you know, sometimes these movies end at a certain point where you think, well, go a little deeper into the story. But it's very good, apparently.
You know, I think if there was an NFL player that mm-hmm. would most likely resemble a Monday qualifier winner on the PGA Tour, kind of like a Tin Cup, in my mind, it's Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. There are numerous, even in this city, we have Chester Pitts, who played for the Texans so many years on the offensive line, and he was bagging groceries in San Diego and walked on to San Diego State after being discovered by Kyle Turley and Ephraim Salah, and eventually became an NFL player. So how about that? It happens, but you're right. When you have players who bounce around or athletes who bounce around, but they put the time in, they put the work in, and they have phenomenal athletic ability, that's the only way you're going to be able to achieve what you're talking about.
Of course, and when we come back, we'll get more into the Masters, more into Tiger, right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, back after this. We'll be right back.
listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Back here with Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Charlie, great to hear from everybody this morning. How are you? Let's hear about our friends over at Howe Water.
How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing? We're getting ready for the heat in Houston this summer. And water plays an important part of your golf. Outdoors, you've got to hydrate. And the better you hydrate, especially kids, you don't want to get heat stroke. And you've got to keep your body full of water, full of minerals, electrolytes. But this new water that we're introducing to the Houston market has a unique set of circumstances, and it's water that is infused with more oxygen. And the more oxygen you can get into your body, you're going to feel more refreshed, you're going to not get lightheaded, and you're not going to get sick to your stomach. So the water you choose to drink is so, so important. And so in the future, as we move forward, Howe is becoming one of our sponsors of our event, of our tournament, and of our show also. And I'm going to take some Howe water down to Mark's golf tournament. And we're going to expose people, and you're going to feel better, and the whole public's going to feel better with Howe water.
Going to oxygenate everybody?
That's it.
See, all right, cool.
There's that big word.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, every week Charlie blesses us with one of his priceless lessons that have crafted major championships and PGA Tour wins. I'm interested what he has in store for you today.
Oh, I've got questions. If you got something, go. But, yeah. I mean, I need therapy right here.
Well, what we're going to do, and I'm going to be down at your golf tournament. Mm-hmm. We're going to put on a little clinic before for everybody. And as we know, I said, less is more.
All right.
And most people overswing. Mm. So you've got to decide your swing amount, just like, everything we do is measured. And iron shots, especially your 7, 8, and 9 iron, are shorter swings. It's not a driver's swing.
Right.
It's a matter of control. Just like you said, you reminded me. I said that golf is from 150 yards in.
Yep.
From 150 yards in, you don't need to be DeChambeau.
Right.
You've got a 90-mile-an-hour swing. You got a 95-mile-an-hour swing. Keep everything under control. And you do that by the length of your swing, mm-hmm, and having a specific distance in mind. If you get up, you look at the pin, okay, I'm going to hit this 92 yards. Eventually, that will become automatic. It'll become in your get to your subconscious.
Oh, I like that.
So you play with a number. Nicholas always did that. And so when I'm practicing a swing, I like to practice a 7-iron for 135 yards, not 190 yards.
Okay.
I want to be under control.
Yeah.
Smooth is a good word for a golf swing.
I watched you warm up once.
Yes.
And I thought, that's how I should be warming up. And just gentle swings with the 7-iron and just getting the rhythm
that's
of
right.
it all.
That's right. Exactly.
And
now you're talking.
When Billy and you and I did the show together,
yes,
years ago, I remember he said something that I'll never forget. And all these questions about what's the most important part of the golf swing, taking it back, the follow through, and how high. He said, contact. Contact is the most important part. The club, how is the club meeting the ball? That's the moment of truth right there.
That's
and so you
it.
Don't need a big, long swing. And whenever I'm playing badly, it's usually because I'm taking it back too far.
Right.
And when I don't take it back as far, it feels like I'm only taking it back 2 feet. It feels weird. But then I look, I'm like, oh, no, I'm taking it back decent. It's fine. Shorter swing for me works a lot better.
And when we drive our car, we're governed by speed limits,
mm-hmm,
motivated by fear. We don't want to get a ticket.
Right.
I would like to see speed limits on the tee.
Ooh.
This shot is 85 miles an hour, mm-hmm, not 120 miles
okay.
an hour.
Okay.
That's going to get the distance that you need. So that's the deal. control the speed of your swing and control the amount of swing.
Sounds like the golden ticket to the green jacket to me, Charlie. Now, speaking of the green jacket, mm-hmm. Well, let's get to y'all's thoughts on who's going to be in y'all's respective Masters pools. I'll break down the, kind of the top three favorites here as we go into Augusta. Of course, we have Scottie Scheffler, who will obviously be in the top three of favorites heading into next week. This is a guy who has dominated this year at three very distinct golf courses. You know, he wins in the desert at the Waste Management Party. Then he goes to Florida and dominates on the grainy Bermuda surfaces out at Bay Hill. And then he wins the WGC match play in Austin. Then you have the Aussie, Cam Smith. Now, remember, these three players are all multiple winners already heading into the major championships. Scheffler, Cam Smith, and Hideki Matsuyama. We'll move to Cam Smith, who set a PGA Tour scoring record at 34 under. You know, he's playing well. He also won the Players just a couple weeks ago. Mark, did you catch the Players? Cam Smith hit this unbelievable shot on 17, the Island Green, with this back right pin, delivered one of the memorable quotes, and scared money don't make money. That shot ended up securing that victory by one shot.
That's beautiful. The only time I ever played the Island Green, only time, and there was a lot of pressure here, Charlie. It was right before the Gator Bowl. Everybody was looking. I made it onto the green, but I three-putted. Okay, because I was, like, on the other end of it. I think I was back right. It would have been great if it was Sunday, but the pin was in front. Still, I was happy I made it onto the green. It's funny picking a winner for the Masters. I mean, come on. Throw a dart, right? Whoever wins this week, they're out, all right? Clearly. Whoever wins the Valero, no shot. Maybe not. But what do you think of Scheffler here? Can he do it? Because I remember when Spieth won his first, he was pretty hot going in, and in all the office pools, everybody wanted him, and he definitely delivered on it. I don't know if this is going to happen, but Scheffler's so hot right now.
Scheffler will win the Masters.
Wow.
Maybe not this year.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it takes
eventually
three. You know, if you look at Cabrera, the gentleman I was involved in, Angel, who won in 2009, he had a good run-up.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good four good tournaments before his win. Can a rookie do it? Fuzzy Zeller was the last rookie to win the Masters on his first go. So put all the rookies aside.
It's been a while.
Is it going to be Justin Thomas?
That's my pick right there.
You know, you would think he should blossom, but mm-hmm. having that favorite is that's a big, big load on your back.
And there's no way to predict this. I mean, I think of Bubba Watson and the hook shot and things like that. You can't predict that he's going to rise, or a golfer is going to rise to the occasion to make that kind of clutch shot in that moment. And often that's what it takes. And it doesn't have to be on the last hole. It could be something along the way. You hit a great shot on 16. You get there in two on 15, and you eagle, and that just sets the tone for the rest of the way, and then you close it out. Who knows what it takes? Or you have a moment like Spieth did that no one could have predicted also on 12. So it's unpredictable. I'm going to throw a dart and hit Justin Thomas.
But how do you win the Masters with a name like Bubba? You know, it just doesn't fit. But, you know, Hideki Matsuyama, mm-hmm. that victory was heard around the world. But this, mm-hmm. he won there as an amateur. He was low amateur for the Masters. Now he's hurt. But there's so many. Xander Schauffele.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about that name? Xander.
I don't like it when somebody wins and then they fade into oblivion afterwards.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah, like Danny Willett.
Willett.
Yep. That's my guy, Danny Willett. Don't ruin my Sunday afternoon and be this upset winner. This isn't the NCAA tournament. I don't want St. Peter's winning the Masters. I want a huge name winning the Masters, somebody I'm really rooting for, and somebody who can build his legacy.
Like Charles Schwartzel.
Yes.
Or Immelman in 08.
Immelman.
But there are some notable favorites going into next week that missed the cut this week. Of course, Rory McIlroy missed the cut. He'll be looking to achieve the career Grand Slam, a feat he's been trying to do for almost 8 years. Then you have Bryson DeChambeau. He missed the cut this week. And he's a different story from Rory as far mm-hmm. as momentum mm-hmm. concerned. You know, he's coming off the injury. He's already talking about which long drive contest he's going to next. Rory has already won this year in the CJ Cup and has two top 20s in his last four starts. Your thoughts on Rory for
Wait,
next week?
Last major was what, 2014?
2014. It's been 8 years.
Mm.
It's really incredible.
You know, it's Charlie, I don't want to say which major is easiest to win, right? You would think, and I hate to use that word easiest, they're all incredibly difficult. But the British is the one, right? Because if Tom Watson could almost win it at, what, 59, then the British, everyone who said Tiger will never win another major, and he won the Masters 3 years ago, but everyone who said that, I said, look, he could always win a British. You could always get hot and win a British, right? Putt well. You could putt from 50 yards out at the British Open. But the Masters, maybe it is that for Rory, or are the demons too strong?
The demons are so strong, especially trying to win that your fourth major to become one of the six people to win all four majors. And then my heart is heavy because I'm still a Phil fan, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, me too.
You know, he won it three times. It was his first major, and he had to pay his dues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's finished five times in the U.S. Open. That's incredible. But now he's gone on hard times, you know, and he's not going to play. So I wish him the best that he can get back to it. But the young people today, the 25 and young, mm-hmm. younger, are really dominating the game. The game has gone really, really young because of the opportunities that are out there in college golf, college coaches, college golf courses that are, you know, so much better. So they, when they come now, they're really prepared to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's the youngest kid in the group?
In the Masters?
Yeah, this year.
So it's going to be, well, James Pyatt, who's the defending USAM champion.
Yeah, he's
but as far
no
as
chance.
Professionals are concerned, it'd be Garrett Higo out of South Africa.
Okay. Well, you know, these young guys, you could spoil your day.
Hey, you still got to make putts, all right? It's all going to come down to a putt. This is what I say when I'm playing, too. It's all going to come down to a putt on 18. But how many times do we see it?
Yeah.
Some guys just hang in there. You know, you can get there in three on a par five and one putt and birdie. And, you know, it doesn't have to always be spectacular, long ball, the youth just taking over. It could be somebody a little bit more seasoned, but that's just the Masters, and that's golf in general. I think more likely in the Masters, British Open, than the U.S. Open PGA Championship, although Mickelson just recently won the PGA Championship, so there you go.
At 51.
I know. It's
that's
crazy.
What's so sad.
It's crazy.
His career was ending so spectacularly,
mm-hmm.
and he messes up by, you know, misspeaking.
Yeah.
He didn't misremember.
People,
he must
yeah,
misspoke.
Misspoke and, yeah. Sometimes it's better not to talk.
It's incredibly unfortunate not to see some of these seasoned guys. Phil Mickelson not in the Masters. It's unfortunate to see guys like Ricky Fowler and Jason Day. I mean, Ricky Fowler, 2015 Players Champ. Jason Day, 2015 PGA
Gosh,
Champ.
Gosh, it was 2015 when Fowler won the Players.
They will not be at Augusta National in 2015.
Fowler's another one.
Yeah.
Jeez. Is he the American Sergio? It's going to take a while, and eventually he'll get one.
I'm not sure now. I mean, mm-hmm. he's gone awry with that putter. He had a stroke that was long and fluid, and he was young, and he couldn't miss it. Mm-hmm. And now he's on hard times. So we're going to
– Yeah. Right after this, we'll pick our winners for the Valero Texas Open. And speaking of veterans, we got three veterans in the mix there, Ryan Palmer, Matt Kuchar, and Kevin Chappell. So we'll make our pick for the Valero Texas Open right after this on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference, joined by the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And we're going to wrap up here with some picks for the Valero Texas Open. The top three in the leaderboard, Ryan Palmer, who is in the Masters. Matt Kuchar, who is not in the Masters, and he has five top 20 finishes and nine starts at Augusta National. And then Kevin Chappell, who we haven't seen in quite a while. But, Charlie, we'll start with you. Who are you liking this weekend at the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio?
Well, because of our guest this morning, I'm mm-hmm. not going to pick his pick.
Okay.
There you go.
But I'm going to say Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
For the Valero Texas Open?
Oh, Valero. I'm sorry. Valero. I'm thinking about the
No
Masters.
Problem. But that's your Masters pick?
That's my Masters pick.
Okay.
I'd love to see Ryan Palmer win in San Antonio.
Okay. I'm going to go Ryan Palmer, too. He once took the team out of the tunnel at NRG Stadium for the Houston Texans. So,
did he really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ryan Palmer. And why not? And, you know, it's funny because now we have to suffer through Cooch every time he hits a shot, Coocher. But that's just watching golf on TV, right?
I'm going to go with Kevin Chappell. You know, I love the underdog story. He's still getting back into form after suffering that career-threatening back injury in 2018. And, this is a guy who has a top 10 in every major except the PGA Championship. I like his chances to get it done. Mark, can you leave us with a few words on what you're expecting from the Texans this year? I saw we signed Marlon Mack yesterday. That's exciting addition to the backfield.
They've made a lot of additions, and they have a lot of picks after trading Deshaun Watson. And I think they're heading in a very positive direction here. Lovie Smith has been great. He's working terrific with Nick Caserio to build this thing. They have 11 draft choices. They have 7 in the top, 108 of this draft, 2 in the top 13. They've never had anything like this. This is a remarkable opportunity to build this team for the future. And I think this is going to be a very nice year for them with Davis Mills at the controls.
Reminds me of what happened in Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have all those picks from the Herschel Walker deal. Look what happened with them.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network.
See y'all next week.